Hello and welcome to the Wiz and Ashes Daily Podcast, brought to you by Travel Bag, creating holidays packed full of exciting memories since 1979. Steve Smith's continuation of his historic Ashes form was overshadowed by a sickly blow to the neck that brought an end to an epic battle between the former Aussie skipper and Jofra Archer. To talk through an epic day at Lord's with me, overlooking the nursery ground, Wizen.com's Tahar Hashim. Tahar, we've got to start with Smith's blow to the neck. There was genuine concern as he hit the deck, evoking memories of Phil Hughes' death 5 years ago. After the long delay, he eventually left the field unassisted, but that moment kind of made the rest of the day feel a bit irrelevant. What was your initial reaction to it?
It was scary. You sat right next to me, just the whole place went silent. He was flat on the floor, and there'd been such a battle brewing with him and Archer for so many hours. It was captivating to watch. It was incredible viewing. And then that happened. Then you don't care about the cricket. You don't care about the score. You forget all of that. It was really worrying. And then when he stood up, I breathed a sigh of relief, because we all know the history. You know, this Australian team close to home, and that he stood up I was just happy to see him stand up.
He was hit on the neck, not the head. It was scarily similar to the blow Hughes took, and also Smith's not wearing the protective neck gear that a lot of batsmen wear these days.
And it hit home in the media box. The one thing I heard in the media box was, oh, it's just like Phil Hughes's one. And that's instantly, it frightens you. He went and then he came back out, of course, and we'll get to that. I'm happy to say that the day will be remembered not simply just for this blow, but more so for the incredible innings that he played and the battle that took place between him and Jofra Archer.
As you alluded to, Smith came back to the crease less than an hour later. A, were you surprised? And B, do you think he should have done?
I mean, we were all surprised. You just don't think someone's going to bat after that. You know, there was talk about the concussion subs. But then, as we've heard now, we've just come out of the press conference with Justin Langer. We heard from Cricket Australia spokesperson as well. All the concussion tests were done. We've been told by Justin Langer just now that there's going to be another concussion test tomorrow morning, which he believes, you know, Smith will be fine. And what's more worrying is his arm, which he went for a scan for. But yeah, slightly strange that there will be another concussion test tomorrow. That just feels a bit odd. And then you have him come back and play again.
Yeah, it sounds like Australia followed the protocol 100%. But I was surprised about my Langer as well. Is there not an implication that if there's a further concussion test the next day, they do not categorically 100% know that he's not currently concussed?
And, you know, I guess we're not experts on the protocol here. We're no doctors or anything. But yeah, that did sound strange. And I guess what made it all the more weirder was when he came back out and the way he got out. You know, Steve Smith does not miss a ball that's straight on his pads, and he did that.
He didn't just miss it. A ball that was hitting middle stump, he didn't attempt to play at it.
Yeah, and it was a weird sight. That's all I can say about that. It was a weird sight to see.
That period after lunch was one hell of a battle. Jofra Archer had an average speed of 90 miles per hour in that spell, a top speed of 96.1 miles per hour. It's so exciting to see from an English point of view. We've never had a fast bowler like Jofra before, and there was a sense of excitement around the ground as he was bowling.
Well, watching him in the opening session, he was sort of ambling in. Of course, we all know Jofra's action is, you know, cool and calm. But the pace wasn't really there. You know, there were a few balls.
It was still quite quick.
It was still. he's a pretty quick bowler. All right. So, but for his standards, that's what I'm talking about here. It didn't seem like he was up there. He was. There were a few balls that were in high 80s, but he wasn't really crushing through the 90s. And then after lunch, you know, something flicked, and he went for it. And he went for Smith, like I haven't seen a bowler go to Smith for before. It was captivating to watch, and he just had the plan, and he had leg side packed, and it was captivating back because Smith was riding it. You know, he was getting through it. There was a pull shot for four that split the field, like, you know, just expertly. He was navigating a maze, and then came the ball afterwards, where he got hit on the neck.
Do you think that is how Steve Smith's going to be greeted for the rest of the series now?
Oh, of course. I mean, that is the tactic. That's what's going to happen. That is the way they're going to go after him, because there is no other way to go after him. It was interesting to see with all the pre-match hype about Jack Leach's left arm spin. You know, he didn't come on for a while here.
I was wondering that too. A guy who's been picked to get Steve Smith out didn't bowl at Steve Smith very much.
Yeah, exactly. But it was always going to be Jofra. As has been the case since Jofra Archer made his England debut, it's always about Jofra.
Easy to forget after all that happened today. That was another sensational innings from Steve Smith. His last four innings against England in England, 144, 143, 142, and he only got 92 today.
Only 92. That tells you everything about Steve Smith, doesn't it? Only 92.
England would have started the day knowing that if they ran through Australia, they'd have a genuine chance to win the game. The day ends basically in the opposite scenario, where Australia know that if they run through England tomorrow morning, they've got a very good chance of winning the game. Steve Smith, yet again, until that smell from Archer, did not look like he was going to get out.
No. And you're bang on there with Australia being the ones in control now. We know how England can collapse and just, you know, they can collapse quicker than any other team in international cricket. You have a decent start to the morning, and anything can happen. And Nathan Lyon, with that rough outside off stump from the nursery end, Ben Stokes was all at sea against him. They have to try and navigate him more so than the quicks. Nathan Lyon will come into play on day five once again.
And they
struggled against him last time, day five, so it's going to be interesting to watch. You never know what can happen.
And Lyon should have had two wickets today. Two LBWs against the lefties, Burns and Stokes. They decided not to review it. Both would have been overturned had they been reviewed.
Yeah,
Australia
massive.
Not getting their reviews right, and that could prove costly. If England to get out of this game with a draw, realistically need to bat through to the lunch interval tomorrow and still not be all out. I said to you when Stokes and Butler at the crease, I genuinely don't back England to bat out one and a half sessions.
No, you don't. They can collapse like no other team in international cricket. And Nathan Lyon's out there, and he's got the rough outside off stump from the nursery end, and they couldn't manage him last time round at Edgbaston, and it's going to be that same test again. And an incredible morning session where they can take six wickets. That's not out of the reckoning, especially with this England batting lineup. Ben Stokes did not look comfortable there. Josh Butler has not made runs in the Test arena for a while now. It's going to be tough for England. We can't bang on say it's going to be a draw here. I can see two results. I can see an Australia win and a draw, and I can't see an England win.
Cummins, two wickets and two balls, swung the game even further back into Australia's favour. Joe Root now averages 32 since the last Ashes. Something's not right, and it hasn't been right for quite a long time now. What do you put it down to? Because before that, he averaged over 50 in Test cricket, 53, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to make the basic point and say, oh, he's the captain and that must weigh on him and all that kind of thing. But
it sounds like you're about to.
Yeah, it does sound like that, doesn't it? The honest answer is I don't know, because with Joe Root, you can never pick apart his technique, because it's the most solid technique there is, isn't there? Again, I guess part of me does think there is that World Cup hangover, that kind of thing, and where these guys haven't played Red Bull cricket in very long. And the one thing I mentioned to you is Steve Smith. Steve Smith hadn't played a first-class innings before the Edgbaston Test since he'd been in the Test arena, so over a year. But Steve Smith is a freak. And Joe Root, as incredible as Joe Root is, and will probably go down as England's greatest Test match batsman, he's still not on Steve Smith's level. Joe Root is capable of having slumps. But again, I go back to Smith. And I don't think Smith is capable of that. I can't understand. I just think Joe Root is going through a rough trot. And I struggle to put a finger on why.
It's a long time, though. 18 months. And on the point about Smith, Smith knows his game inside out. And Root has done and was brilliant for a long period of time. Still is a brilliant batsman. But with Butler in particular, I worry about the lack of Red Bull cricket he's played, and he's having to learn to be a Test match batsman in the heat of battle. We've got a couple of idiots speaking over us. I'm going to keep this bit in the podcast, actually. Some lovely people here at Lords trying to get involved with the podcast. Where was I? Josh Butler. He's learning the Test game.
I'm sorry, did the last minute just happen?
Yeah. Josh Butler is learning Red Bull cricket in the Test arena. In not just any Test match, not any Test series, in an Ashes series. Should that be the case?
Well,
demoted to six today, by the way. Stokes promoted above him whilst Lyon was bowling.
Yeah,
which didn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah, it did seem a bit weird. But Josh Butler was always, if he was always going to get back in the Test side, it was always going to be him having to learn in the Test arena, because he doesn't play much first class cricket. He got picked on the basis of the IPL, and it paid off last summer. And the thing that's not the main issue with me is his lack of first class cricket. It's more, if you looked at the way he played last summer, it was, he still had that intent, and he's talked about this, I think, before, where
remember he had on his bat handle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I guess right now it doesn't seem like he's showing that mantra. And the other thing is, I guess with all the England batsmen, I put down it again today was just the excellence of the Australian bowlers. They are another level of attack. Pat Cummins. We saw Jofra Archer bowl an incredible spell. I thought Pat Cummins was exceptional with that new ball.
And Peter Siddle as well.
Peter Siddle will just keep running in until... I mean, he could play... When's the next Ashes series here? I mean, I don't care how old he is.
He'll be 38.
So, yeah, I mean, he's just an incredible athlete, and he just keeps coming through. And we'll always be the guy who's like, oh, well, maybe they can play someone else instead of him. But no, you know, Peter Siddle does what Peter Siddle does, and he just keeps coming for you.
And he's keeping James Pattinson and Mitchell Starc out of the side. Yeah. You've talked a little bit about it already, but how do you see tomorrow going?
I fear for England in the morning. I feel one or two early wickets and it will unravel. And I see Australia making a proper game of it. What will be interesting to see is if it does become a chase that is a hurried one, Australia's approach towards it. David Warner has not got many runs this series. And I'm really interested to see how he goes tomorrow, because four failures on the bounce is a very rare occurrence in David Warner's test career. I can almost envision a scene where they need maybe 150, 160 or something, and they probably go for it.
Thank you. Well, this has been the Wiz and Ashes Daily Podcast, brought to you by Travel Bag, creating holidays packed full of exciting memories since 1979. A brilliant day of Test cricket at Lord's. It's all set up for another epic day on day 5. See you next time.